Hello and welcome back. This is episode 57 of the Rad City Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Barry the Pig. With me as always my co-host, Dread. Dread, welcome back.
Hello, this is Dread. And in today's podcast, we don't really have too much to talk about other than this is like the second week of the event, I think, or the after the first week, or however long it is. It's been about a week. Yeah. A week and a few days. And the event's been fine for the most part. Nothing too crazy's happened so far, other than like you said last time with the event stuff, like the hot fix that got rolled back and hasn't been implemented yet. But other than that, it's been a smooth sailing, all things considered.
How many lizard tails do you have? I have zero.
I have zero as well.
Sweet.
They're a very rare item.
They're like a 1 in 10,000 drop, and like. So there's yeah. five different ones, and like my idea was, oh, we're gonna get all five of them and do something cool with them, but like, what? Maybe we'll see. So we're both just kind of hanging out. We can talk about builds that we're currently playing. I do want to touch on videos we both just put out, because I just put out a video today, and I think you just put out a video today too. I like the title, the topic of your video.
Thank you.
And then we can talk about whatever else is on your mind. But first things first, builds that we're currently working on. I had been doing a Falconer Shadow Dagger thing, and I did not like it because I felt like the game was making my decisions for me. So since then, I've been working on a Judgment non-aura Consecrated Ground build as a Paladin. You just like spam a bunch of Consecrated Ground over and over. And it's a build that I found on the forum, so I'm going to give that person a shout out real quick. Their build guide, the person's name is The Brewery. So I found their build guide. I saw the build was performing well on the ladder as well, in the arena. And it's quite melee. It's a really melee build. But it's really good. The damage comes together very quickly. It levels very well. It seems like it has a lot of good axes for scaling damage. And I'm enjoying it a lot. So hopefully if I get like, you know, tier 7 movement speed boots with, you know, like double movement speed on something like that, maybe that'll make it feel less melee. But boy, it feels melee. So other than that fact, it's good. It's got a lot of recovery to it. So
yeah, that build really did get enabled by the change that they made about the skill queuing, huh?
I thought that skill queuing thing always worked that way. Like if you didn't have, it didn't work that way? I feel like it did. When was that change?
It was like maybe a year ago though. It was 0.9 that changed, I think. So it's been a while.
Okay.
But if you don't know what we're talking about, essentially what's happening is the main reason why the brewery's build works so well now is when you adjust your skills on your bar, you can have specific ones go off at specific times. So for instance, when you're at negative mana, your bar won't let you cast skills that cost mana, but then you can cast skills that don't cost mana, i.e. Vengeance in this case. So what you can do is you can have I can't remember, does it go left to right?
It goes left to right, yeah.
Yeah, left to right, yeah. So if you have Vengeance on the right side, I think, right? And then you hold down Judgment on the left side, as Judgment casts, it'll prioritize Judgment first, but then you'll run out of mana, which you cannot cast Judgment anymore. And then you'll cast Vengeance instead. You'll gain the mana, then cast Judgment, then cast...
So you're just like holding down two buttons and like the game knows which one to cast.
Yeah. And instead of being absurdly obnoxious like it was before, where like, you know, you couldn't do that before, now you can do that. You can just literally hold down two buttons and it'll automate the gameplay for you for the most part. And it makes the generator spender not feel like a generator spender anymore. It just feels like you're playing like a channeled skill that like, you know, every so often it shoots out Vengeance, and then every so often it shoots out Judgment.
True. And
that definitely makes it feel a lot better than what it used to be back in the day.
I definitely wish that I had, like, Rive's Pull. I think that would make it feel so much better, but, like, I would lose all my defenses then. Or I wish, like, Lunge didn't cost so much mana. Or I wish that I liked using Healing Hands movement skill. Or I wish that I had, like, plus 100 movement speed to make my melee life feel a little bit better. But, like, it... Yeah. Like walking up to a pack of like archers or something that are like, you know, the new skeletons juiced up for the 1.1 refresh event. Like it hurts, you know, it really fucking hurts walking up to those guys. It just feels so melee. But
with the evade, it still feels bad.
The evade feels super important for this build. Like in 1.0, you could basically build this exact same build. I probably wouldn't have liked it just because, like, you know, not having evade at all. But evade makes it feel a lot better, which continues to be the case for every melee build that I've played so far.
I'm excited to play swipe again after the changes, because I haven't played a good swipe build in a while, and that's a build that gets enabled very well by the evade stuff.
But your evade in werebear form is like a little hop. It's not a barrel roll like it should be.
Oh, I'm talking about Beastmaster.
I thought you wanted to be a werebear or something. Okay.
Nah.
Yeah. The evade as a swarm blade looks awesome, but like the evade as a werebear is like, it's kind of mopey.
I thought we were going to get the barrel roll.
Yes, that's what but instead we have the insect roll.
This is a beautiful time for them to be like, all right, by the way, guys, we have MTX here. You can make a bear. You have someone bear with like a little captain's hat, like airplane hat, right? And then when he does an evade now, it's a barrel roll. Okay.
So anyways, I have this list of it's my calendar of dad jokes. So here's all the dad jokes we haven't read yet, and Dredd's just giving them out for free. Thanks, Dredd. All right, so what build are you playing for the event right now?
So we ended last video on Blast Rain, right?
Well, you were having a good time with that. Yep. You said it was squishy but really good damage.
Yeah. It's good still. I finished that after the podcast. And then after that, I made the unfortunate decision of leveling a Forge Guard. It was one of the worst decisions in my life.
Your video titles have really taken off recently. What was the title of the Forge Guard video? Is something like, I leveled a Forge Guard and only regretted most moments of it or something?
I played a Forge Guard again, and I regret almost every minute
of it. Almost every minute of it. Yeah, not quite every minute.
What happened was on stream, I hit a world splitter with T7 melee flat fire, and me and Twitch chat decided it would be really funny if we just, like, I don't know, leveled a Forge Guard and played Smelter's Wrath with it. Because if you don't know, Smelter's Wrath with increased area, it increases the charge speed instead of area, because otherwise I'd be overpowered as balls. You just like, wee, gigantic screen, why did we, right? So they changed it and made it so it's charge speed now. And if you use a very high mana cost Smelter's Wrath, like 65, you can get a very large amount of increased area with World Splitter, and it makes the channel costs go from like 2 seconds to like 0.7 seconds, maybe.
It looked snappy. It looked good.
Yeah, and it made Smelter's Wrath actually playable. The problem is there's some anti-synergy here. So as you channel it faster, you don't get the more damage per second notes. So you're getting more Smelter's Wrath per second, but you're dealing less damage each one. And it's fine. It does enough damage. It's not like the best in the world, but it was just like, I like the skill, but I don't like the mastery. The mastery sucks. Donkey, like right now, like I was at 4.3k HP. If I was playing a paladin, I'd have been at like 5.6k HP or some stupid like that. Like, it's just really bad, like in comparison. Like, I have like maybe 5% more armor. It doesn't matter because you know, Smelter's Wrath doubles my armor, so I get armor capped anyways, right? It was just kind of sad realizing, like, this would be so much better on a paladin.
I do want to give you a shout out, because, like, that video is the perfect kind of video that I enjoy. And, like, I know that I'm not the broader YouTube audience, and I know that, like, YouTube videos do well when you say, oh my god, this is insane, or this new card, this new item, this new thing is totally busted. And, like, YouTube videos don't do well on average at all when you say, like, this thing kind of sucks. But to me, it's so good. Like, you saying, like, I tried Smelter's Wrath and here's all the ways it was bad. I look at that video and it's like, this is the one that I'm going to, like, go watch 2 or 3 times and, like, dissect everything you said. Like, this is exactly what I want to hear from a YouTube video.
Yeah, I've actually noticed that. That's actually been an interesting topic of a conversation of, like, where I've essentially been punished for playing, like, more fun builds of late.
Yeah,
like,
it for
feels
sure.
Like, I'm being punished for that. And it's very interesting. It'll roll into some of the other videos I made recently. But yeah, we played Smelter's Wrath. Now, what happened after that was I wanted to play Surge. I mean, Firebrand. So Firebrand, if you don't know, it's usually a buff skill for Spellblade, right? usually use to poke stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's fine and dandy, but I saw the curse. He was trying to play it with Event Horizon and use the no attack speed scaling node and use a gigantic flame surge. And it was like, bam, 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 bam. And it was entertaining to watch. I was like, wait, why have we never tried it before? Because they buffed the tree on Firebrand.
They did.
It's no longer garbage. And I can safely say, if it was a year ago, it'd have been a good build.
Unfortunately, you said like the bosses have too much HP. It's like, it's not worth the hassle of trying to make this fun thing happen.
I mean, yeah. Well, the problem is like, it's the same problem that we have with a lot of different builds right now. We're like, back in the day, I think like 400k DPS was good enough for most things. But now it's like, that's not enough at all. It just feels painful. Like right now,
that's the same problem that we ran into recently with Electrify, Smite Healing Hands, like feeling good same in 1.0, and then all of a sudden like 1.1, it's like I want way more damage. I want way more damage to justify what I'm doing here, and it's just like not accessible to me.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's a very good play style. It feels great to play when I'm playing it in monos. It's all good. Like everything's amazing about it. Every single thing is amazing about it. It's just the numbers just need to be tuned up a bit more. Mm-hmm. And that was my point in the video I made today about like bad skills in Last Epoch and why I end up playing them anyways, is because all of these skills that I'm playing, they're all skills that like function as a skill. They're fine. They just don't do enough damage for what they're doing. It's just a numbers thing. And it's usually because they just haven't been updated in a while, right?
They're just kind of old. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of old. Like, for instance, Smudge's Wrath with the new charge speed and all that, it's a good skill that's plagued by a bad mastery and bad numbers. Like, if it dealt, like, double its amount of damage, it would actually be really good and really fun.
A shout-out to Smelter's Wrath for having, you know, two-shotting Aberroth earlier in the 1.1 patch because it was bugged. It's like, well, as soon as we fix the bug, it goes back in the garbage can.
Yeah, and it's sad because there's all these skills that have fun and interesting trees, and we've talked about this before, about more damage and how it's causing trees to become homogenized and you just talked about it earlier on you just made that tier list video thing. You're talking about Earthquake, and it has all those more damage modifiers, and because of all of these skills that do significantly more damage than everything else, it kind of just makes something like these trees look kind of boring, you know, in comparison.
But on the other hand, having nothing but more multipliers all over your skill tree, it makes the skill good, but it still kind of feels boring, right? It doesn't really fix the issue there. So you were just talking about the second video you made, and I want to shout out the title of it, because again, I think it's so good. The title of your video was bad skills in Last Epoch and why I still play them. It's like, that's beautiful. You know what? That's the kind of video that maybe it doesn't do well on YouTube, but like hopefully the devs watch that. Because that kind of is your target audience for a video like that. Like, there's something fun to the gameplay here that makes me want to play it. Please let me be rewarded for giving in to having fun.
Yeah, it's just interesting in general because I made that video and I instantly got a few comments because I was talking about Falconer in the beginning because, you know, it always ends up becoming talking about Falconer, right? Always does.
Always.
Right now. And I was like talking about like how like Falconer takes so little effort in comparison to all the other masteries. And people just got offended at that I would even dare say that. It's like, wait, you mean the build I'm playing right now is low, technically does not take that much effort compared to other stuff? So to quote it directly one-to-one, I said, hey, like, the reason I like playing bad builds right now is because they require more effort to get working, which means I learn more about the game.
You have to solve more problems, yeah.
Like, for instance, me playing Firebrand taught me a lot about how to scale fast attacking skills. Me playing Smote's Wrath taught me how to make sure I don't fucking die when I'm channeling my shit. You know, stuff like that, like learning things. Like, for instance, you're playing Judgment right now, and you're learning the value of movement speed as a melee build. Hey, look at that, right? There's shit like that. And if all I did was ever just play Falconer, I'd learn nothing because Like, I don't need gear when I play Falconer. I don't need damage when I play Falconer. It's already all there, right? And it just takes no effort in that regard. And people think that just because I say that, they think that, oh, because I'm playing these overpowered things, that means I'm, like, lazy or bad at the game or whatever they say. And that, or, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that objectively, I'm sure we can all agree, if we do, like, a little, you know, circle here, we can all agree that Falconer is a little overtuned right now. Maybe a little overtuned, right? And that doesn't, it doesn't mean you should feel bad for playing it. I'm just saying that, like, it is overtuned and it is going to get nerfed in the future.
When I have conversations like that, I love pointing out, like, back to the Magic the Gathering thing, like Timmy, Johnny, and Spike, people play games for different reasons and people have fun in different ways. Sometimes you just want to have a bird and you want to play that build, and it's a video game. You should play the things that make you have fun and bring joy to your life. But, like, you and I, it seems like you and I both have fun solving problems. We want to try different things. We want to have a problem and solve it in new and interesting ways. I recently had somebody in Twitch chat who was, you know, hanging out while we had a conversation like this, and they said, oh, like, you know, action RPG players are masochists. Like, they want to, you know, take the hard path instead of the easy path. And it's like, that's not quite right. So I equated it to chess. And I think I made a good comparison here. Like, you can have a chess problem and you can have, like, a checkmate in one. And you can solve a checkmate in one pretty easily. You can just brute force it. You just look at everything that's a check and then you're going to find the answer at some point. But, like, okay, well, what about it, like, a checkmate in three? What about a checkmate in 10? What about something that's like the end result is not necessarily a checkmate. It's just like a better position overall. Like, those puzzles get harder and harder to solve, and they use different parts of your brain. So, like, maybe the gameplay that you enjoy is clicking aerial assault over and over, which I recently did, and it feels real fucking good to do that.
It does, yeah.
But I'm not the person who comes to
it. I was watching it, and I was vicariously living through you.
Yeah, like, I really enjoyed the playstyle, but that's not why I come to action RPGs. I come to action RPGs to solve problems, and there were very few problems in my Falconer build that I got to solve. So, like, it was fun. It just wasn't the kind of fun that I wanted personally. And it's okay to have fun in different ways. Get him. Fight.
I think the usual thing that I get responded to whenever I say that Falconer and Sorc right now are very, like, don't take that much effort to do well with them, which the Sorcerer thing's a little bit more interesting because at least you have to, like, actually invest in your gear and get to 1,000 mana per Sorcerer. So it's less so for Sorcerer, but specifically for Falconer here. The biggest response I always get is, well, Dread, I have 62 dogs and 50 children. I don't have the time to play all these other builds. I only have time to play this. I'm like,
well, I only get that comment when it comes to loot filters. Do you really get that comment all that often?
Yeah, all the time.
That's
now.
Wild.
Literally all the time now. It's literally
keep going.
It's like, I want to play the easy stuff so that I don't have to spend time figuring out a build and, like, you know, because I don't want to play a bad build and fuck up and then have to re-level all this and all that. I'm like, well, first things off, like, why are, like, the biggest, my biggest retort to that is usually, well, like, why are you, I don't know, valuing your self-worth based on how well you do in a video game? Like, that's not, like, something you should be doing. Right? Like, if you feel like as though you need to do well at a video game in this regard, like, to absolutely dominate it in this regard, if that's what requires you to feel good, that just means, like, you just like power gaming, which is not wrong or anything like that, but that's just what you enjoy doing, and there are games for that. And mainly what I have to say about it is just, like, I feel like as though right now, when people say that, it's because they don't have enough time to play, right? So we can get to the bottom of this. So let's see, they say they don't have enough time to play. So they play the overpowered stuff so they can play faster, get more stuff. Now, why are they saying that? Because they need to grind favor, okay? And they're usually playing COF, right? They need to grind favor.
Okay.
And they need to grind favor. And why do they feel like they need to play quick to grind favor? What could possibly be the issue right now that is causing all of these problems?
Sounds like favor gain to me.
Maybe it's favor gain, you know? Like, I've, like, talked about it, as, like, in my videos, like, I feel like people don't want to experiment anymore and have fun with the game because favor gain is so obnoxious right now that that it's just, like, it's just not fun to try other stuff. Like, for instance, I think I spent, well over 200K favor today, yesterday. I spent 200K favor trying to roll a 1LP Valdred Chalice to hit Infernal Shade, level Infernal Shade, which I will not talk about till later because that's a special one. But yeah, I've been trying to roll something and I didn't hit it after, I think, like 20 tries or something. It's a lot of favor to go down the drain for a 1-4, right? And to then to go grind that favor, even the favor buffs, like it will take time for me to do that. Like, you know, like right now I should be playing just to be able to do that. And I think that's why people want to play the overpowered things, not necessarily because they want to feel strong, but they feel like if they don't feel strong, they're wasting their time in that regard, right?
Yeah.
And that is because the favor stuff. Now, it's funny. It's fucking funny that this is the problem now, because we had the exact opposite fucking problem before, okay? Where now, because before we had a problem where we weren't incentivized to kill enough, but now we're too incentivized to kill stuff to the point where favor gain is literally all that matters. And if you're not playing something that deletes the entire screen with one click, you're probably wasting your time, or at least that's how most people feel. And that is because COF mainly. I blame COF for this because it doesn't feel as bad as in MG, but I blame COF for this right now.
Because most
people that are complaining are probably blaming COF.
As we're talking about this, like there's a great video that Frozen Sentinel put out maybe a couple weeks ago at this point, talking about how backloaded the RNG is for Last Epoch, where like you do all these steps to grind up the perfect exalted item and the perfect unique item, and then you go to the legendary oven in Temporal Sanctum and you cook the items, and it's still just a 1-4 or even a 1-6 to get the thing you want. Like you work for like a week, maybe 2 weeks, trying to find the perfect items, and it's still just a 1-4. And like I assume the people in Twitch chat who are watching here live have watched this video because it's a good argument. It's laid out well. It's a clean video. You know, he demonstrates his points. But like Frozen Sentinel really did a good job of explaining why that backloaded RNG feels bad and like what EHG could do if they wanted to address that. And that's exactly what you're talking about here. Like in Merchant Skill, like, oh man, you know what I found? I found a 3LP Twisted Heart. And that means, like, if I want to get, you know, +4 to smite, for example, on my Twisted Heart, it's still a 1-4.
Yep.
It's still a 1-4 to get my +4 to Twisted. Like, it's a 1-4 on a 1LP, but it's also 1-4 on a 3LP.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's so terrible.
The thing is too, I don't mind that RNG, right? I don't necessarily mind that RNG. See, that's the kind of RNG that keeps you playing an ARPG, which is like what's supposed to happen, right? You're supposed to have some difficulty getting gear, especially really good gear, like a 3LP Twisted Heart, right? Like that's supposed to be
insane.
A sign that you played a lot, right?
Yes.
The problem is even some of the more basic stuff, like I said, there's a reason why I'm not playing COF right now. And the main reason this is going to be a future video topic. Why don't I play COF right now? Why do I play Merchant Skill?
I think I know the answer, but go ahead.
I play too many goddamn builds.
Oh, for sure.
To play COF. Like if I want, like for instance, imagine if I had to do all of this work to play that Firebrand build only to cap out at 500 corruption. That would fucking suck, dude. Wouldn't it? Like that would suck. All this effort, like I have a 3LP pair of Falcon Fists with double T7 prefixes and a T5 hybrid HP roll, right? And it's still not doing well enough. Like, and this is the kind of reason why, you know, new players, they gravitate towards the overpowered stuff because they don't want to deal with that. They don't want to deal with rolling a whole character, getting it all get ready to go, and then get capped out before your favor farm gets acceptable. Right. And that's the word right there. Till their favor farm gets acceptable. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, why are we even saying that? Like, that shouldn't even be a problem. Like, it's crazy to me that that's even a problem. It's like that the devs are balancing the content around 300. Right. In that regard, like, if you want to explain what I mean by that.
Well, so EHG just says that a good build, something that can clear 300 corruption, and 300 corruption lines up with the end of the Harbinger quest line.
Yeah.
And with the approximate time when you're going to be ready to fight Aberroth. And like when they say fight Aberroth, they mean like slog through Aberroth. They don't mean one shot it.
And there's some other things I want to add on to that now. That specific part is This applies to minion builds as well. Mm-hmm. They don't expect you to take a minion build and go and do 1,000 corruption and have your minion survive, because otherwise, summoned Stormcrows wouldn't be so squishy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even like, and that's like another thing. Like, they don't scale these things far enough. Like Firebrand, for instance, right? They just buffed it. They gave it tree back, but it still doesn't have enough damage to even do 500 corruption. If I went back down to 300 corruption, it'd feel fine. Like, whatever, right? But the problem is, right now, as it currently stands, to get good favor per hour, you need to be clearing things fast at around 700 to 1,000. That's when favor starts feeling good. That is when it starts feeling like a good time to farm favor. Before that is a slog. I don't know if you've ever tried farming favor at 300, like actually trying to actively farm favor at 300. Like, it's terrible. Obviously, this is during the event, you know, so like we get like more favor gain. But like before that, right?
I want to pause for just a moment. Twitch chat called me out, and I double checked by slowing down and doing some math. Talking about getting +4 smart on a 3 LP Twisted Heart. On a 1 LP, it's obviously 1 in 4. On a 3 LP, it's 75% chance. So it's 3 out of 4 to get that. But like, still RNG.
I mean, let's be real. For you, it would still be a
1 in 4. Okay, for me, it'd be 1 in 4 because I have no luck in this universe. But
why does farming favor in COF matter? I'll let you answer that, Perry, because you play COF.
What? Kind of. I was making a good point about correcting my own probability and not knowing how math works. I was busy correcting myself, and you're gonna ask me live on Twitch, why does farming favor in COF matter? I'm gonna assume you're not a troll because you're in my Twitch chat. I have no trolls in my Twitch chat. Farming favor in COF is the only thing that matters, because favor allows you to interact with the prophecy system. And prophecies, on average, are a much worse way of target farming exactly what you want, is as opposed to Merchant's Guild, where you just like, you have the favor, and once you get there, you buy the item for gold. Whereas in COF, you might have 200,000 or maybe 300,000 favor spent before you get an item that you want, like a 2 or 3 LP unique item. And then you still need to like go find a good unique item or a good exalted item for it, and then you still need to go cook it in Temporal Sanctum. Like, it is a lot more favor uses in COF than
to give you an idea here. I say 200k favor, right, as a Merchant's Guild player, that would last me a build or two, maybe, if I get lucky, right, in terms of uniques and stuff like that and exalted.
It's like a third of build for COF.
It's not even a third. Like, let's to compare it to the amount of gear I have in MG,
yeah,
it'd be a tenth of a build.
It's not nearly as much.
It is absurd in comparison, right? And that's usually why favor is such a problem. And in my opinion, and I'm going to assume in Perry's opinion, and a lot of other people's opinions, COF is the proper way to play the game, in my opinion. That is the God intended, like, it feels good to play. It feels fun. That is the way that most people play the game.
Listen, Dredd said it. Dredd said it, not me. But
no, I'm being serious. No,
I'm serious.
Just because I'm not playing COF right now doesn't mean I don't like COF. It just means I don't like what we're talking about right now. The problem why I'm
are
not
you,
playing
are COF. Are you trying to say that, like, favor gain power should be balanced around COF rather than being balanced around Merchant's Guild?
Yeah, that's mainly what I'm getting
agreed.
At. Yeah.
Agreed. Okay,
yeah,
keep going.
Yeah. But like, I like COF because that's how I used to play the game. It just, instead, you add the prophecy stuff on it, right? That's how I used to play the game. But to keep up in this day and age with other people, I have to play. And, you know, I shouldn't be, you know, comparing myself to other people. Toxic externality and all
well,
that.
Well, when you say keeping up, you mean like in terms of content you're pushing out to YouTube? This is
like a content problem, right? Like, this is a very unique position in this regard. Like, if I wasn't making content, I'd make like one build a month at most, right? Stuff like that. And so, yeah, I need to play a very large amount of builds, and they need to have quality gear, because the expectation that I like that is put on me specifically is very high right now. Like, if I am not playing like 700 corruption with a build, right, it's a failure. It's already a failure. Like, already people just click off. They're like, oh shit, and all that, right? Like, for instance, if Perry played a build in COF and it gets to like 500 corruption, everyone would be like, yay. But at MG, like the like literally like it's like it's crazy in comparison, right? It's like people want the best of the best of the best, and it's like I can't always deliver that because, you know, not everything in the game is the best of the best of the best. And I like having fun, I like playing builds. So to keep up with that demand, I play Merchants Guild, and I, you know, just make better decisions in my gearing and get better gear so that I can push these dumb meme bullshit builds to like 700 corruption where they shouldn't be, right? That's why I play Merchant's Guild, is because of that.
It's beautiful. All right, so we were talking about a couple things at the beginning of this video. We were talking about the builds we're currently playing and talking about the YouTube videos that we just put out. You put out like video why you're playing these, or some skills suck, but you still enjoy playing them. I just put out a video about Nerf Bingo, and I'm about to put out another one as well. So let's touch on this real quick, because I enjoyed
Leave
making
my static touch alone.
Two years ago.
It's only good when you have like an absurd amount of hits. There's like very specific builds it's good in, and you played one of them.
2 years ago, I had fun talking about Nerf Bingo. Yesterday, I had fun talking about Nerf Bingo. Today, I have more fun talking about Nerf Bingo. And a year from now, when patch 1.1.1.8 comes out, I'll have more fun talking about Nerf Bingo. So Nerf Bingo was a bingo card that we created, guessing what's going to be nerfed in the next patch. So like we talked about this 2.5 years ago in like 2022. And we just like revisited that as like a little time capsule. And now we have a new Nerf Bingo card right now. And I guess I can link this in Twitch chat if anybody wants to take a look at it, including you, Dread. But there's a couple things here. You said Invoker Static Touch. You don't want it to be nerfed. Listen.
Oh no. Okay. All right. So listen, my problem with the Invoker Static Touch. Okay. Let me explain.
Go on. It's gonna get nerfed for sure.
I know it's going to. But you have played, like, your only experience with Invoker Static Touch is a build that was specifically meant for it, okay? And I have also played Invoker Static Touch in the past, and I've played builds specifically built around Invoker Static Touch, right? When you just try to throw it on into your build, it sucks, okay? Like, for instance, I think the best Invoker Static Touch build I played was the static build. Not because static, the plus levels, but because to get the hits for the crits to be able to channel through statics constantly, you needed a billion hits, right? And that build specifically was doing that, and it was getting to like maybe 7k ward, right, at most. Before
that's a lot of ward these days.
Yeah, it is. I agree, but you gotta remember the amount of effort I had to put into it to get to that. How many hits, if you put an Invoker Static Touch, let's say, I don't know, like a Vengeance build, I don't know, it would suck dick, right? Like, Invoker Static Touch is only good as the skills it's going to be using with, like the small hit skills, right? So like, for instance, that ailment thing, right? They could add that to Frostclaw, and then whenever it hits, it has like less of a chance to get the ward on hit or whatever, like whatever they want to do. Like, I do agree that it does deserve a nerf. I'm just saying that like, there's only very specific circumstances where it's very good. Like, for instance, you had an opportunity to fuck around with it, so you can explain your end.
Don't remember what build you're talking about.
The marksman.
What did I play
when we were playing together?
Of course. You mean the? I was like, but they.
I'm going to assume they're OP, right?
It's just on my radar as an item that has no cooldown, and we just saw all the Runemaster nerfs for like ward gain on hit and ward generation. And
like, this no fun.
This is just an item that sticks out to me. Like, I think that this item avoided nerfs in patch 1.1 simply because it's a set item.
Okay, before 1.1, before we knew the nerf changes were gonna, the ward changes, okay? I specifically went out of my way to not put that in any of my builds so it wouldn't get nerfed after the ward changes, because I wanted to try it after the ward changes.
I can tell
you, without a shadow of a doubt, it is not overpowered.
So they just nerfed the ward generation on the haste boots as well, the Weaver's Will boots.
Yeah.
I feel like the same thing is coming for Invokers. Like, maybe.
Yeah, but they're on a set item. You can't add LP to them. They take your ring slots, which, by the way, are really fucking strong.
That's true. Yep.
Like, it's not all easy. And you have to run two of them too. Like, you'd be running phantom rings. I think phantom crypts are more overpowered than the fucking static rings, right? Because phantom crypts, you can get LP on them.
Should we nerf phantom grip?
No. Because until they start realizing that they have to put base crit on these stupid two-handed weapons they keep releasing.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No.
Like, people keep telling me that Phantom Grip's like OP. It's like, I really don't think it is. I think Phantom Grip is, it looks strong right now, and it obviously is, but it's for lack of other sources of flat crit.
Yeah, that's and also as well, all they could do is just, yeah, they could nerf the legendary potential, like make it so that you only ever get one OP on it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I don't care. Yeah. Like,
yeah, maybe a hard cap of one LP.
Maybe it has too many stats on it. Like, they could maybe, I don't know, get rid of the plus levels.
And why does it have mana too? Just in case Sorcs couldn't use it?
The mana is a little bit absurd. Yeah.
Why is that there? I don't know.
Like, look at, like, good example, Torgor talking about the meteor belt. We don't have to rush with nerfs. Like, we rushed with the nerf on the meteor belt, and now it's boring. And now you're only using it on one specific build, and that build, like, doesn't even need it to function.
Mm.
They're only putting it on because it's flashy. They don't need the meteor belt. It's just funny.
It's cool, but, though. Yeah. All right, yeah, so I'm going to read out some of these things. If people are watching on YouTube or watching on or listening on Spotify, like, you can always go to my YouTube channel. You can watch the updated bingo or nerf bingo thing. But I'll read some of them here. We said, like, big mana Sork builds, Flame Ward, the Zombie Belt. It said a hybrid health idols was one of them. The Wraith Lord helmet. Twisted Hearts. I don't think Twisted Heart needs a nerf, but, like, you know, I could see it getting nerfed.
I actually have a conversation point.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The hybrid health idols. I think EHG is doing a very bad disservice to their idol system. Because in the beginning, we had interesting idols like Thorn Totem Von Hit.
Yeah.
And like Hammer Throw. And cast Divine Bolt, 1-0 mana cost skill, which actually is relevant now. But now we had that idol nerf where they changed, like, this square to, like, whatever it is.
Yeah,
now.
It used to be a 4x4 square, and now it's like a.
And
yeah.
They introduced hybrid HP idols, as we're talking about. I think part of the problem is they keep making boring idols. I feel like as though. If the idols were more entertaining than just, like, for instance, when you're playing an idol build around, like, idols, like, should be build-enabling items.
They should be primalist idols. Primalists have such good idols. They're cool.
Yeah, like I'm talking, like, completely build-enabling things, like the smite ones, right? They should never be relegated to percent damage over time while overloaded. Or, like, for instance, cast speed while curse is such a good example of how interesting of an idol you can do. You can get, like, Perry, I don't know if you know, you can get, like, fucking 70% cast speed from your idols by just being cursed. Like, I cast one Maelstrom every 5 seconds. That's a good example of a bad idol. Thank you.
I can't believe, why is that stuff ever in the game? The Maelstrom per 5 seconds.
And they even nerf the smite idol too, which makes me want it even more. And then you just have like, I don't know, like, I feel like they're doing a, like, huge disservice to the game by not investing more into idols. And the problem is, it's for content. Let's assume they're game devs. Okay, they make content. Sometimes, like, when they add new stuff, when they add new skills, they're going to add idols. They're like, instead of making something interesting, we're just going to do damage over time while overloaded. Or we're going to do ward when you're channeling Profane Veil, or ward when you're channeling, like, Ghost Flame. Like, no one wants that shit, dude. Like, I don't know about you, but I feel like as though I'm already in Profane Veil, I shouldn't be getting ward per second. Okay, I'm already using the busted skill. Come on. Like,
I got a question. So I don't know how the I don't know Path of Exile these days. I don't know how the divine font in the labyrinth works these days.
Oh, they changed it completely.
In the past, you would enchant, like, your helmet, your glove, your boots, or something.
That is no longer the case.
But okay, so in the past, that's how Path of Exile worked. And, like, when they introduced a new skill, they'd introduce a slew of good helmet chants that go along with it. Some of them would be boring, like percent increased damage. Some of them would be, like, really interesting, like plus one arrow for tornado shot, or like plus one fire trap thrown, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it kind of reminds me of like the plus one explosive trap idol that exists in Last Epoch. And like that looks really interesting. It reminds you of the kinds
it
of things.
It just gives you a maximum one, but
it doesn't really do anything, right?
Let you preload, yeah.
Right, right. And like I want more interesting things. I want to equate it to what the Divine Font used to be in Path of Exile, like those build enabling things that you really want to seek out and get a good roll on them. You put them in the build. I don't want double health. That's so boring.
Yeah, like it's so weird to me. Every single time I make a build and it's anywhere near HP base, and I never use my idle slots. It's like, oh, I could get like 200% increased damage, or I could make my build tanky. Mm-hmm. I'd rather make my build tanky these days.
Yep, I agree with you there. Yeah, so that was the nerf bingo stuff, and like this has been pretty fun to talk about. Somebody in Twitch chat was asking me like, should I do like a buff bingo? Like,
that would be a bingo that'd be like 20 by 20.
Yeah, so. Everything. How do you possibly make buff bingo? Because there's so many. I guess that'd be the fun. If you literally wanted to play bingo, I think buff bingo is probably better, because then you could generate more different cards about it. But like,
and you could even introduce things like give you stats, but also give you negatives, like the Acolyte idols have.
Yeah.
Where they like give you percent less damage taken overall or whatever, but you get less health regen. Mm-hmm. So the health regen builds. Like for mage, you can be like, you get 5% more mana, but you have like 30% less mana regen or something
or
like that.
More DR when you have Flame Ward active, but take increased damage when you don't have Flame Ward active.
Yeah, or like that would be awful. Or,
yeah, it would be
no. Make it so that it'd be like less flame ward effect, but cooldown recovery speed for flame ward. I think that would be a more fair.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. Yeah. I like it. That.
Those are the kind of things I would like.
Sure, I like it.
Yeah, opportunity costs. What Wander Dota said.
I love opportunity costs. Cool. Yeah. So that's the nerf bingo stuff. It's been a good source of conversation. Well,
we say that, but. Not on Disintegrate. The one on Disintegrate sucks.
What's the opportunity cost for Disintegrate?
Oh, the mana scaling node that's locked behind the 40% less damage node or whatever.
Poor Reddit, dude. Reddit's trying so hard to make Disintegrate into a skill that's like worth playing.
I have my popcorn. I know.
Yeah, there's one person on Reddit who like keeps popping up. Every time that there's a Reddit thread about Disintegrate, you'll see like the same two or three people show up in the Reddit comments. And like, oh, you tried this? Is it any good? It's like, no. Nah, sorry, it's not. Poor little Disintegrate.
60% less damage, thank you, NG. See, I didn't read the Disintegrate tree after seeing it for the first time because I didn't want to puke and shame.
Yeah,
so poor thing. Bad. I just want to fire my laser, dude.
Pew pew. Like, how is Scorching Ray so reasonable? And then Disintegrate's like, not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, Scorching Ray, when it was good, it was in a different time period of PoE.
I have no idea what's good in Path of Exile. I have no clue what's good in that game.
I can tell you that Scorching Ray is definitely not something on the top of people's lists. But it used to be, and that's all that matters.
Back in my day. Sure enough.
Back in my day.
Nothing's good that's channeling. Poor channeling skills.
I mean, that's just channeling in general. Like I don't understand what's going on. They keep designing like all these companies, they keep designing like channeling skills when they know they're bad every single time, and then they like introduce the one channeling skill that lets you move, and then all of a sudden
and then it's OP. Listen,
and then
I
nerf into the ground because of that.
I put out an inflammatory YouTube video and I got a lot of people mad at me. This was a while ago. I made this video and like the thumbnail, the thumbnail of the video was the most offensive part because the thumbnail said hashtag delete Warpath. But I made an argument against channeling skills in action RPGs because the ones that don't move are binary because you either should be channeling or should not be channeling. And while you're channeling, you get buffs. And when you're not channeling, you don't have those buffs. So you're more squishy. And then the whole dichotomy breaks as soon as you add in a skill like Warpath that lets you move and channel at the same time and preserve those buffs. And like, it's wild. Like, it's been going on for such a long time. It's channeling.
Last Epoch finally broke the mold and made a good channeling skill that wasn't shit to use and felt good.
Is that
and
Smelters?
No.
Hold on. Smelters, because you recently said that EHD did a good job of making it feel good to stand still because it gives you so much defense.
No.
Okay, so different skill.
Smothless Wrath is garbage.
Ignore what I said. What were you talking about?
Wandering spirits, about how when you channeled it, the spirits would stay, right?
Yeah.
Remember when they made that change?
I do.
All of a sudden, Wandering Spirits was a fine skill, did damage, it felt good to play, all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they removed it. And they're just like, oh.
Yeah, okay. They changed it so that when you stop channeling, they all disappear immediately. Was that it?
Yeah. Well, okay, what happened was that was the original way, and people all said it was ass, which it was. And then they're like, hey, we're going to make it so that the spirits stay after channeling. And all of a sudden, we had this era where Wandering Spirits was an interesting skill.
It was like a week or two.
It was interesting. Yeah. No, it was a few patches.
Was it?
And then they changed it recently with the 1.0 patch, I think. Yeah, they did. It was 9.0 to 1.0 that it was viable. And then 1.0, they changed it without putting it in the patch notes. And then I got angry about it. I was annoyed.
I remember, started
getting angry at me.
I remember all the Lich gamers who were experimenting with it. I remember like Arborist was experimenting. Yeah. Mao was experimenting. You were experimenting. Like everyone who like loves Lich. Because, you know, Lich hasn't changed in 25 years.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God, we finally have something to do. And like everybody was just like jumping on Wandering Spirits. Every build was a Wandering Spirits. It's really exciting, and all of a sudden it's like, well, it's kind of fallen by the wayside because it got changed again.
Yeah, and they made the changes for such weird reasons too. Like it wasn't even that strong of a build, right? Like you still had to channel and stand there to get your damage out for a single target. It just made clear not feel like nails on a chalkboard, you know. But yeah. Yeah.
All right. So we've talked about the builds we've been playing. We talked about the videos we've been putting out recently. You said at the beginning of this podcast that there was something else on your mind, like stuff you wanted to chat about in case we ran out of topics. I want to open that up to you in case there's something you still feel is pertinent.
Oh, shoot. I think we kind of covered it all, actually, because we were talking about the videos I made recently. No, that was it.
That's good. That's good. Let's chat right now because I remember you and I were talking about doing a Q&A episode. So I think both in like the comment section of this podcast here on YouTube, let's collect some Q&A stuff and like your Discord and my Discord will both be open for it. And like it'll either be questions for you or for me.
I'll make a community post.
Yeah. So let's get ready for a Q&A as well. There's a couple more things. We're about to approach kind of a lull in Last Epoch content because we need to wait 3 more years until the next patch releases. So until 2025 Q1, we're not going to have much content that we know about, unless EAG throws us a curveball. We'll see.
But we could get another event in December.
We could. But are they going to tell us that it's coming? One of my big critiques about EAG right now is like, I'm an adult. I want to schedule. I want to know when these things are happening. So like, I know that Q1 2025 is something that's going to happen for Last Epoch. But like, is there something in December? I don't know. I would imagine like to know in advance.
Imagine you order pizza for delivery, okay?
Go on.
And he says, so I might get it here today or tomorrow. It's like, what do you mean tomorrow? What do you mean tomorrow?
So I guess I'll just sit home and wait the whole time. Yeah, pizza. I don't know, something like that. People want Santa hats on Hayrod. I low-key thought that during this 1.1 event, that the Emperor of Corpses was going to have like a little hat on. I kind of thought that's what was going to happen. It didn't. Oh well. So we'll collect Q&A stuff. We'll have another podcast. I have at least 3 podcasts I'm interested in doing. I have a Q&A episode that I'd like to do, and I have 2 subsequent episodes to that that I'd like to do before we go into hibernation and wait for the next content from EHG to see what's going on. So we'll see how that goes, but I will let people know on the YouTube side and on the Discord side, of course, live on Twitch as well, but what's going on with those plans. So I think we're going to wrap it up there. Dredd, thank you for joining me. We got less than an hour for this podcast, but I think we had a couple good topics of conversation, and it's a good use of time. So thanks for joining me, buddy. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you're watching live on Twitch, or if you're watching after the fact on YouTube or on Spotify, if you're listening, let us know where you're watching, where you're listening. We'll make sure that you're watching and listening viewing experience is as good as possible. When I've said this in the past, people have told me that they're interested in getting this uploaded on a on like Apple Podcasts. If there's a big audience for Apple Podcasts, then I will put in the effort to make that happen. So if you're specifically interested in that in the Apple Podcast side, let me know, and I will again redouble my effort to make it happen. Because right now it seems like there's like one or two people, but if there's more than that, just tell me. So that's it. This is episode 57 of Red City Radio. Dread, thanks for being here, and I'll see you next time.